Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." After that, he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And it's interesting that the church today gives us John 19, Jesus standing at the foot of the cross at the very moment of Christ's execution, standing there with Mary. There's two points that I'd like to make in this homily and then just briefly connect them. The first is the vertical of Jesus and Mary, and then the second is the horizontal John, who represents all of us. Today was, this week we had the feast of St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and he points out elsewhere outside of this week's divine office that since Jesus was dead at the moment the spear pierced his side, in some sense, it was Mary's heart being pierced then. At least that's who felt the pain. Of course, both their hearts are being pierced. Jesus is physically, but because he was dead, he didn't feel that. But Mary felt all of that as that sword pierced his side. And this fulfills exactly what was prophesied of Mary when she was holding that little baby Jesus with that tiny little heart, that same heart that was going to be pierced one day by the soldier, when she walked into that temple and Simeon said to her that your heart a sword will pierce so the thoughts of many might be revealed. This is a very key moment in Mary's life, both of these, and these two are very, very connected, because when that soldier rams that spear into the dead body of Jesus, that life-giving but dead body of Jesus, and all the water and the blood comes out, it's Mary's soul transpierced at that time. And we think back to Simeon at this moment, the thoughts of many might be revealed. Who are these many? It's everyone through history, everyone who would be saved. And this is why Mary is the co-redemptrix. Mary is the co-redemptrix because she plays this role in all the thoughts of so many being revealed, being brought to the foot of the cross for, please God, their redemption. Now, who else is there? John. Here's where we get to the horizontal with this. The early Christians looked at the Gospel of John and they found he never called himself John. If he used the word John, he referred to St. John the Baptist, as you hear in actually every ending gospel at every low mass. Johannes is what it says. But he's not referring to himself there. He's referring to John the Baptist. When John the Beloved, when John the Apostle, who is at the foot of the cross with Jesus and Mary, the one who wrote the fourth gospel in all three letters with the name John, who does he refer to himself as in the gospel? He refers to himself as the one that Jesus loves. The one that Jesus loves. And you notice that today in the gospel that was given us today. Even then, he doesn't refer to himself as John. In fact, he is just called thy son, Mary's son. Well, all the early Christians understood that because John wasn't named by name, he was actually telling all the Christians, this is you. You are the one that Jesus loves. You are the one who is dear to his heart. They could substitute himself in there. And this is exactly why Mary is the mother not only of John at this moment, when Jesus says, behold thy mother, behold thy son. The early Christians understood this was for all of us, because you and me are the ones that Christ loves. So it wasn't just John at that moment who was given Mary to be his mother, but every single Christian. Okay, now let's combine these two things. Because Mary is the supreme person of co-redemption, we know, as St. Bonaventure said, God could have made a bigger world or a bluer sky, but he could not have made a more perfect Blessed Virgin Mary. And that perfection is horizoned on her suffering, because charity, sacrifice, orthodoxy, purity all have to ebb and flow as one front, especially sacrifice and charity. They all ebb and flow as one front. St. Thomas Aquinas said for all these, Mary's was on the threshold of the infinite. We can't say Mary had infinite charity, only God does. But she was on the threshold of the infinite. Well, you and I are nowhere near this. But as we become close to Mary, as we come close to Mary, we are given this role to also be little co-redeemers with her at the foot of the cross, because this is every single one of us, as I just said. A lot of times I look at what's happening in the church and I feel so paralyzed. I'm like, what could I possibly do to end all the craziness in the church? You know what John did at the crucifixion? Nothing. He just stood there. He didn't move. He didn't flee in despair. He remained with Mary, Mary, the chief co-redeemer, himself as a mini co-redeemer amidst all the problems. I often feel myself catching myself. I want to evangelize the whole world and bring the whole world. And a lot of times I'm touched with just a temptation of despair. But what am I winning people to with all this craziness? No. As the church is being crucified, we do not despair. We stand here with Mary when everybody else flees. And what do? We offer up that suffering. I make up in my body what is wanting in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Colossians 1:24. What's missing in Christ's sufferings? Nothing except my participation. And this is how Mary is the supreme co-redeemer, and I'm a very mini, mini co-redeemer. But my sufferings are valuable as Mary gathers this up and brings it to her son. It's just she took John's whole life, giving it to Christ to be this great apostle. We give our lives to Mary. We give all of our sufferings to Jesus through Mary for this restoration of the Catholic Church, which we know will be the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which we already look forward to on this feast by the very title of this heart that stood at the threshold of the infinite in charity and in suffering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.